Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
Woo!
Andy here, welcome to another episode of the Netball Show with Mizuno. Before the tournament last year, I spoke to Laura Geitz and asked her what it would be like not playing.
It definitely will be hard sitting back and watching the girls play. I mean, since I've retired, that's been part and parcel of what you expect sitting on the sidelines. And come game day, you definitely get that urge to be out there. I can easily say I will be up in the middle of the night watching the girls because I will have a newborn baby to be taking care of. So I'm very excited that I will have something to watch during all those early wake-ups, early mornings and wake-ups in the middle of the night.
And are the Australian games easy to watch? Do they get easier to watch being the next player? Or are you playing every pass?
It's so hard to sit back and watch what's happening out there because you naturally just go back to your own experiences and those moments, particularly the close games and particularly World Cups where there's just so much excitement. I think when I'm 50 or 60, I'll still have that desire to be a part of it. Nothing compares to that competitiveness and watching, the other Aussie girls out there. You feel like you're connected to them in a way. So you do play every pass, you defend every shot, you take every intercept with all the girls out there and you just wish them all the very best.
Your retirement came last year. Was it just a case of reaching a moment where your personal life was more important?
Somebody said to me in regards to retirement, you know the time is right when you've exhausted all your love for the game. In 2017, when I had Barney, I hadn't felt like I had completely exhausted all of my love for the game. That's why I chose to come back in 2018. Getting towards the end of that season of 2018, I knew that it was time for my life to take a different direction and there was other priorities in my life, such as my family. And I think I definitely had got to the point where I had exhausted my love for the game and had felt like I'd really taken, you know, my position as keeper at the Firebirds and the Diamonds to a place that I could take it, and it was time to leave it and let somebody else come in and take over the reins. That's not to say it's not difficult to walk away and retire. I don't think anything prepares you for that instant change, but at the same time, you definitely know when you've got nothing left to offer, and that was the case for me.
The last time we spoke was a little under a year ago. You've had more time with your family. You're expecting again as your own family grows. So has it been an enjoyable break? Have you missed that intensity of training?
I think probably for me, the thing that I miss the most about playing is the camaraderie with the girls. All the moments that aren't scripted, that, you know, are away from the court, that are in the change rooms, that just seem to happen, that actually stay with you forever, that are the fondest moments that you have. That's what I miss most about the game. I miss, you know, rocking up to training every day and strapping your ankles and having conversations with 11 other girls about how their day's been, and just that social side of team sport is definitely probably the biggest part for me that I miss. In saying that, I definitely don't have the urge to be putting my body through the intensity of training. And the only urge, as I said earlier, that I have is on game day. And even then, it's probably not to the extent of what it should be if I actually wanted to be back out there playing. So again, for me, all signs is to know that the timing for me was right to walk away from the game.
How important is that time away from the sport for pro athletes?
Time away from the sport is exceptionally important. I think when you're living it and, you know, you've got your goals individually that you want to achieve as an athlete and as a team, you get really caught up in the whirlwind of it. And, in netball in particular, that four-year cycle, whether it be a Commonwealth Games or a World Championships, it just goes like a cyclone. It is so fast. And you find yourself going from a domestic season into international and there's really not a whole lot of downtime. And I think probably from my experience, you're only capable of so much before your body's starting to tell you that mentally you need a break or physically you need a break. So I think our game is getting better in terms of realizing when girls need, you know, active rests and just rests away from the game. And I think it's really hard for younger athletes at times to think, oh, I've got to step away and give my body a break because I'll lose my position. But in the long run, you know, I think it really is so beneficial towards having a long and lengthy and happy career.
There's obviously still a love for the sport. Will we eventually see you move into a management or coaching role?
Of course, I will always have a love and a passion for the game. That will never leave. It's given me so much, and I'll forever feel as though I'm in debt to the game of netball. I can easily say I'll never be involved in coaching in terms of, you know, being the sole coach. I'd like to do some defensive specialist coaching at times, but, you know, for me, my life probably has gone in a different direction in terms of the media side of netball and, you know, doing, I suppose, more mentoring and helping younger athletes come through with their journey on leadership. And for me, that's probably where more of my passion and interests lie and how I can see that I can give back to the game.
What do you think of that Diamond squad that's been named? Plenty of experience in there, but that mix of players gives Lisa lots of options if she needs them.
Australia has always prided themselves on having depth, you know, in the squad. And I think probably Lisa Alexander, since she's taken over the reins, it's been one of her greatest strengths as coach, is to continue to develop that depth and that strength within the playing group. And, you know, as the international seasons now seem busier and more expected of the girls, I think that's a huge positive in terms of having having so many viable options out on court to choose from.
Plenty has been said about the importance of Seabass and the role that she plays on court. We can't really deny the role she's going to play, and it's really good to see her playing back in the Suncor again.
Seabass, look, she has really grown into her role on court and off court as a leader. She's a big game player. There's no denying that. And, you know, I think that she has really just got great confidence within her own ability on court. And I think she's finally got to the point where she's comfortable in having her own leadership style and not comparing herself to others. And she does a fantastic job with those youngsters in the Diamonds, and she's coming into great form in the SSN over here now, and I'm really excited to see her carry that form into the World Cup.
Any team you think that could cause an upset? Jamaica, South Africa?
The team for me that could cause a real upset is South Africa. As I mentioned just earlier, Jamaica's a big I'm a fan of Jamaica. I think they're going to be great. But I really do think that South Africa is going to be a huge challenge. And whether they have the strength to win it, I don't believe they do, but I think they can cause some major upsets and can really disrupt potentially the competition for maybe some of the stronger teams. And, you know, I know New Zealand's always in the mix, but I actually think that people have maybe discounted them a little bit, but I think they're going to be really strong at this World Cup.
And how about teams making it through to the big final? Do you see it being anything other than England, Australia?
The thoughts on final teams in the grand final, England and Australia. Look, that's probably what pops into everyone's mind going off what happened at Commonwealth Games last year. Again, I think New Zealand is going to be in that final too, and I actually think New Zealand will be there, and it will be out of England and Australia for that other position. I'm also, you know, just mindful 4 years ago that we experienced that home World Cup. And whilst there's so much positivity surrounding the fact that you've got your own crowd and you're in your own country, you think that that's just a given advantage. I actually found early on in those rounds, it was more of a disadvantage for us as an Australian team hosting the World Cup. There's so much more pressure. And I think for England, that might be something that they also realise and have to prepare that, you know, an early loss can sometimes really send a bit of a rocket through the group. And I think with the different teams having to play each other in the pools, that's always on the cards. So it'll be interesting to see how England withstand that pressure, whether they use it to their advantage or whether it becomes a little bit too much for them.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.